Though we are still at the very beginning of Lent, we have barely wet our feet, as it were. We already have readings which ultimately prove to be controversial, showing that the Word of God and the truth of God is not what other men call truth, which always connives and gets everything in such a way that everybody is pleased and everybody is comfortable. Everybody is acceptable, which of course is not the way of God. So in the lesson from the book of the prophet St. Isaiah, we see that the Lord commands to the wicked to change their ways, to return, to forsake their sins, and the unjust to forsake their evil ways. And then he speaks about the fact that his word, and this of course would have been God the Father speaking, his word, that is the Son, would come down and he would water the earth. And of course that also refers to the Holy Spirit, and make things grow, which is of course the things that our Lord and the Holy Spirit do. And that he would not return to the Father empty-handed. And this is something very important for us. God has placed us here, has given us life and the talents and the knowledge that we have and the holy Catholic faith that we hopefully have. And he expects us not to return to him empty-handed. We are to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, who go back up when we are called for our last judgment. We go back to God, filled with graces, and having tried to obtain as many graces and indulgences as we possibly could to give back to God. So we must not return to God empty-handed. Then the gospel, which actually happened just a few days before Palm Sunday, maybe some would say even during Holy Week, is extremely controversial. Our Lord is in the temple, his temple. St. Matthew says the temple of God. Well, Jesus Christ is God. The people do not yet know it. They suspect it. The Pharisees and scribes suspect it too, but they don't like what they see, because he's not come here to serve them as they want to be served, to put them in high places. He will put the apostles in high places, who are fishermen and tax collectors and so forth. They hate this. And so they are conniving against him. In the meantime, he takes no notice of them, but he sees that there are those in the temple that are doing evil. I remember when I was in a seminary, a good friend of mine would say, you know, if our Lord came back today, he would take a machine gun and shoot everybody in the temple. He would not take a rope this time. And of course, he had a point there. The things that are going on in the church and in churches today is much worse than that which was going on in the temple at the time of Christ. And that was just the beginnings of the temple. Now we have the temple, the church, the mystical body of Christ, with the sacraments, in particular the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the holy sacrament of the Eucharist. It is much, much worse today. Nothing has gotten better. It has gotten worse until he comes in glory. But St. Augustine, as I say also, says, you know, what these people were doing in the temple was obeying the law of God. They were making available to the people the things that they were supposed to sacrifice to God. So what is it that they were doing wrong? And of course, I've given you the answer in the past, and will you tonight again. It was not the fact that they were selling cattle and sheep and doves and so forth. That was not the tremendous sin that was being committed there. The tremendous sin was that they were cheating the people. Because at that time, first of all, you could not take anything unholy into the temple. That should be thought about by the people today by doing things of the kind. And so therefore, you cannot take the Roman coin into the temple. You had to buy the temple coin, which was sacred and blessed. But what they were doing is, and this is why Jesus took his belt and whipped them all out and turned over their tables. And he talks about the money changers. That's a very important word here. They were selling the coin of the temple, not for an equal amount, for, let's say, $1 of the Roman coins. They were for $1 of the temple coin, they were charging $2 of the Roman coins. So you see, they were not giving an equal exchange. They were stealing from the people. They were cheating the people. And this made our Lord very indignant. And this is one of the times when we see that God indeed doth have anger and indignation in the face of sin and of evil. Like I said, God alone knows what will happen when eventually he has enough of the evil that bishops and priests and people who are supposed to be holy are doing today. I would say I would hide under the pews, but that's not going to help them one little bit. When he comes, he will render to each according to his or her deeds. And that's that. And at the last moment, there will be no time and no room for repentance, except for a few. And so we need to pray, and we need to do reparation for sins, ours and others, and we need to make penance for sins, ours and others, and we need to pray for the conversion of sinners, we and others. We should never be so proud and so arrogant that we think that we are not sinners, that we do not need to pray for ourselves. We need it just as much, perhaps more. So pray today for the conversion of all, for the salvation of all, and that all of us may be able to, at the very least, get to the fires of purgatory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.